Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Economically Yours. On today's episode, in a fresh tangent of going a little, tweaking a little to what our conversations usually are, and going with respect to what's around the world, what's hot around the world, I have the AI guy with me today, Akshat Behati. He's the project manager at the Adecco Group, and he is also very active on social media and claims himself to be the AI guy, which I think he is, not only claims. And is also a dear friend from Bangalore. So welcome, Akshat. I'm delighted to host you today on Economically Yours.
Same to me. I think it's like, you know, I always have been creating content, but like, yeah, something that is like, write something that I always wanted to, because you know my dystopian views on the future. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, it's super interesting, like, you know, the kind of world we live in, and we have always been discussing this like over our long talks. So yeah, it would be great to, like, you know, just share some of that and like see how the world reacts.
Yeah. So I'll jump straight into the topic, right? I mean, we all know what AI is, what ML is. Like, we've been studying that in our colleges and stuff like that. But OpenAI is a new concept that's come into that, that's created all the buzz since the last few quarter, one quarter or two. So let's start with, what is OpenAI?
Well, it's actually interesting, right? Like, because Elon Musk just gave a recording, like, you know, he did give a first conversation with CNBC after the annual general meeting of Tesla. And OpenAI started with a very simple concept. It was a not-for-profit company to compete with Google in AI, right? That was their whole idea, that, you know, you create an organization so that the power is not concentrated with one place. It's not concentrated with Google or the Apples or the Microsofts or the world. It started as a not-for-profit, right? It got donations from people. So when OpenAI, like, you know, when people say that, you know, we helped create OpenAI, and, you know, everyone like, you know, then why don't you control it? Well, it's because it was a not-for-profit. And all of these people just donated the money, literally just donations, right? So what happened with that? Now you have a company which created some of the, you can say, like, the first good open source models, right? Now there are a lot of them, but, like, you know, there are some good open source models. Now, again, I won't go in technically, but, you know, very simply, like, you know, open sourcing, why it helps for AI or any companies, because every engineer or every researcher out there can use that and can build their own better models, right? That was the whole logic behind OpenAI, that you distribute the power. Now, what happened now? Okay, let's come to the last 6 months. In the last 6 months, it's not a company which was working for not-for-profit. It's not something that they're just charging us those $20 for GPT-4 to, you know, help other people. They're charging that to become a for-profit company. They have turned themselves into a for-profit company, and companies have invested in them. It's Infosys, it's Microsoft, all of them have invested. It's not that not-for-profit. The GPT-4 model, nobody knows what has gone into it. After GPT-3, they stopped publishing their models in itself completely open source. Yeah. There are research papers, there is detail. Now, it's a company which today has, yes, put that black swan event happened when ChatGPT got released, and everyone's like, yeah, this is the simplest way to access an AI, and it got crazy. The idea is, it was supposed to be open source, it's not, and that is both scary and great at the same time, because, yes, there will be other companies who will be doing the same. The scary part is, yes, because they have so much more in the economy right now. Like, I don't think we have been using Google Bard in the same way that we have used ChatGPT, right? Like, my still go-to-do list ChatGPT is just because of the way that it has been constructed, right? So now you actually have, like, you know, having Google as one search engine, it's still okay, right? Because you're just getting the right information. Again, there are a lot of problems with that also, but, like, you know, they're just putting in information. Having one go-to default AI agent, it's difficult, because the point is that everyone have the same opinion, right? Like, if tomorrow I go and tweak the algorithm in such a way that, you know, I search about, let's say, the next elections in India, and everyone says, like, you know, it's the majority that's going to win, and everyone searches the same thing, it's, you can tweak it to literally say, you know what, no, it's this different political party that wins, and then we are off to the races and anything else. That's why having one specific AI agent that we all rely on and we all love is super crazy, because it can actually disseminate information which is completely generated as you want it, and you will not even know that you are being fooled or manipulated. That's why it's a big problem. Like, when people compare Google and ChatGPT a lot, like, you know, I also, like, you know, put a post, like, you know, why search is dead, but there is a huge difficulty in, like, if search is dead and compared to what happens here. So, yeah.
So, okay. Mentioning, talking about disseminating information. Now, I was, you know, I told you, remember the podcast that I recently watched with Varun and Tanmay Bhatt?
Yeah.
That analogy that they shared. So, there is a lot of information, millions and billions of, zillions of pages across the internet. And you're telling me that if these AI, ChatGPT or Bard or the likes of it, they are running on information that's already stored on the internet, is it not possible that there are nuclear codes on at least one or the other? Because these are AI platforms that are built to encrypt those things, right? So how is this not scary?
It is like I don't think we are saying that it's not. But the point is like okay. So very simply, first of all, let's say like at the nuclear part of it, right? Like again, I think that's still like very. I'll say that's the least use case anyone will use AI for because again, you need the whole physical infrastructure and everything and all of that, right? You still need to plug in the nuclear codes. Just imagine, leave that. Okay, what if you use AI to shut down your all electrical connections of the city? Okay, leave like let's leave like the whole part of nuclear. Obviously, nuclear weapons are a huge problem and you can destroy cities, right? But today, you are not using them because it's a nuclear deterrent, right? Someone fires and it's a huge one. But what if I shut down the whole city's electricity for 5 days, right? That's a much more scarier thought, right? And yes, and that's where you come in, like, you know, technically you can ask ChatGPT to do anything. They are putting in the safeguards that, you know, you can't write a prompt. I'll tell you, okay, the biggest hack, you want ChatGPT to do anything and it's saying, you know, I can't do this, just write one word, educational purposes. That's it. I'm just doing it for, and it will actually respond. And you know, the more you can go on Reddit and search for a lot of prompts, and like you know, you can create your own. That's called do anything now prompts. It's you just write educational purposes. You don't even need to do that, right? So yes, the more scarier part, Charlie, is yes, what will you have? You will have a fire attack being crafted by a 12th grade student or a 10th grade student or anyone, and they can take cities down by just literally utilizing that, right? Now again, so there are like you know two conflicts to that. Obviously, AI in you know as any internet technology, it's a sword, right? It's a sword with two edges. You can use it to plug in. But the idea is like you know what do we do, right? If you look at like you know it is super scary and like you know I think if you look at it, someone we need much better technology now. We need super better technology compared to like what before from a security standpoint, right? And like you know once we come to the parts where we are looking at jobs, like this is going to be something that. Companies need to, we need to have physical infrastructure that protects, like, you know, there need to be some level of physical keys. Everyone needs to, like, no, it should all be digital. You have those passwords, you have those cracking open movie scenes that we have seen, you know, just you need physical infrastructure now to protect that. Like, you know, you can't take down the electricity grid by just writing some code. You need someone to switch on and turn on those keys. Because in today's world, that's the only level of security that you can have, right? Like someone, yeah, and then obviously that someone can come and break in, kill everyone, like someone who wants to do can do. But just imagine someone randomly experimenting can't take your grid down, which is now possible because you will have like a sophisticated level of knowledge required to take down a city, right? And then you'll be, if you're looking at hackers and stuff, they won't do that because there is too much risk, right? But just imagine you are creating something, okay? You are trying to maybe like, you know, take down one CCTV of your own apartment or one traffic light in front of your house, and you're just experimenting as a kid, exploring it. And you just say, you know, how to take down all the traffic lights near my area. And for some reason, 110% ChatGPT is 110% capable of this if you like, you know, prompt it enough. After some time, you just have a whole script that takes down the whole thing, that takes the information and things. Obviously, it won't be someone who's like, you know, will have certain knowledge of like, you know, technical expertise. But like, if like, you know, me, my friends, and we have to sit down and do it together, I'm pretty sure in a month's time, without even upskilling ourselves a lot, we'll be able to like, you know, create some kind of like that can take down a lot of things, right? It's just that specific point. Yes. And it is scary to the part that what if you switch off water supplies? What if you switch off those things, right? And then you have, I think now physical infrastructure is going to be so much more at priority of vulnerability of attacks. And I think India is still lower than that because we are not so digital, right? I don't think that's going to be a bad thing now, at least in infrastructure, right? Because we have seen how US cities or like what's happening in Ukraine right now, they have switched off like literally, like you just have a cyber warfare. Cyber warfare is going to get easier. And also there may be just mistakes, like, you know, someone by mistake did something just because they were trying something out. It could be, yeah. So it's scary, but I think like, that's also a beautiful part, right? Like you have a technology that can do so much, right? And again, it's like everything is scary part, right? Like everything has a scary part, but then also, you know, the good always overpowers the evil, right? Let's see, until machines take over, we'll probably be like, you know, relying on humans. So yeah, it's going to be fun.
Talking about machines taking over and us being humans, how far are we till we turn ourselves into machines? Like, how far are we from that kind of situation where technology becomes, where we become a part of the technology than not technology becoming a part of ourselves?
I think not very far, right? Like you, if you look at it, like, you know, and then again, I would like to like, you know, ponder upon this question when we say, how far are we? Okay. So when we say like, you know, technology till now, like, you know, we are highly reliant on it, right? We are literally recording this podcast on a laptop, right? We are highly reliant on it, but it's for the first time that machines can come and say, you know what, I can do everything that you already do, but I can do it better and faster, right? That's for the first time. So we are not very far. Like if you look at what Humane is doing, right? It's a great AI company, and like, you know, they are very ensuring to make a very safe AI. Now the idea, if you look at it, what their idea is
Just if
yeah.
you could dive deep for my
Yeah,
listeners.
yeah. So what Humane does, right? Like they are a personal AI agent. Okay. So when I say personal AI agent, I'm not talking about ChatGPT or something, or like imagine Charvi, like you have an assistant, right? And now that assistant has been with you for 10 years. Okay. Imagine that. And that assistant knows your food habits, knows your calendars, knows your families, knows when someone's birthday is, knows your medical requirements, whatever there are, hopefully never have, but whatever it is about you, that assistant, which some of the highest executives in the world today have, they have an extension of their own, which runs a lot of things for them, right? Just look at it at that simple example. Human is trying to give that to anyone. So you just input everything. And again, the technology is still in development, so there is not like how the interface would be. But you have everything about you put into a GPT, like a thing, like, you know, and it tells you, okay, you know what, Charmi, I have recorded your calories, I have booked your calendars, and I have booked your meetings, right? Now, the point is, you can already do that. You'll be like, actually, how is that different? The idea is, it is going to actually talk to you as an assistant. It's not going to tell you, okay, Charmi, because of this, like, you know, you have this XYZ thing, that's why you have to go to this guy. No, they're like, this is the calendar, right? This is how we have arranged your calendar. And it's based on the rules and instructions and your preferences, right? But as a human assistant, it evolves. So you say, no, I'm too done. I can't have six meetings in a day, right? The next auto meetings will be auto scheduled based on your priority automatically. So let's say you are a CEO of some company, you have 15 meetings in a day. You are burnt out by the end of 3 days. Now it has a tracker to track your glucose levels, your body levels, and everything, right? And you already have that. It just inputs that information and says, okay, you know what? This person can't work at 80% or 90% productivity right now. Let's cut down some meetings. And it automatically starts taking those decisions on you. Obviously, you will have some control until a point. And then you say, you know what? Okay. And then your productivity increases by 10x folds, yes, which is harnessed by someone who has literally every information that you have and also information that you're not tracking, right? Because you may sleep 5 hours a day and you're like, okay, it's fine. I'll go through the day, right? But your body markers are saying, you know what? No, this person is not performing at its optimum productivity. That's what Human is trying to do, right? Like it's going to have literally an agent that's connected to your body and has every information on you and wants to help you do whatever you want to do best, right? And that's why, so it is going to be integrated. And like, I think, like, if you look at what Neuralink is trying to do, right? It's not far away that we have literally a machine implanted in us. I don't know where, brain. It could be right there in the nervous system in your hand or something, or maybe like an assisted, like a watch that every one of us wears. It could be anything. But it's not far away. I'll say maybe like I'll give us, I think, max a decade for the technology to get cheaper and be with everyone. And I'm talking with everyone. I'm talking from the richest of the person to be the like the person who can't afford anything. Also, the government will give those trackers to track them. It could be it is a dystopian future.
Would you sign up for Neuralink?
Yeah, if I had the chance, I would be. I honestly, I like it would be crazy. Like it would be risky, but I would love to see what it can be. So yeah.
See, but the point I asked you is that because growing up, I would say not even growing up, I'd say in the last few years only, we are really very scared. Whenever we download an app also on the phone, there's an option that, you know, iOS gives today, ask app to track or not to allow app to track, basically. We don't even allow apps to track. And we know that despite all the encryption that these social media platforms claim that they are doing, they don't. Anytime our microphones are on, they know what we are speaking and they throw us at them. It's true. Having said that, we as humans, we are scared for that small minor thing. But today, as we extrapolate something like a Neuralink or a Humane, what that particular technology is doing, how comfortable would we be adapting to that, adapting to the fact that our data is publicly available in such scalable measures?
So, okay, then let's look at it right now. Leave everything. Let's leave our apps. I think look at the society management apps that have come in, right? That have come in the last 4 or 5 years, right? They
Like
manage your
MyGate and stuff.
MyGate, No Broker Code, whatever, like, you know. These apps are all there and they track everyone who has visited your home, right? They track every person who has exited. It could be your freaking relative, your closest brother, friend, whatever. If I come to your home, I have to enter a PIN code with my name and mobile, right? And that data goes into a database, right? We still pay for it and everything, but it still goes into a database. They know everyone who's at your home right now. They literally know that. And when you think about that's nobody's even thinking. Like my first reaction when No Broker and MyGate, I was like, I don't want to tell who is at my home. I don't want to tell how many Amazon deliveries I'm getting. Now, the whole idea is that they are selling this data to advertisers, right? They're already selling, okay, you know what? This, so if you are living in an upper class neighborhood or like, you know, us, I don't know if you're
Township,
interested,
good township,
or you live in
yeah.
township, you already know, okay, this piece orders more from Swiggy compared to Zomato. So Swiggy just don't target your ads here, Zomato maybe. Right? And you're already giving that it. Just imagine your literal home, leave internet. You are
Yeah.
literally using that to have someone, whoever is in your home, is tracked.
Yeah.
Right? And I think we have become human, like we have become comfortable with it because we love the services, right? So privacy is a myth and privacy is also a privilege. So if you are charging, if
Yeah.
you are an extremely rich person, you buy the whole township out. Right? That's what, like, you know, Zuckerberg and all 30,
Yeah.
the next 30 homes next to his home is all bought out by him. So privacy will become a super privilege, and yes, like there is no two ways about it. You already are tracked, like your Aadhaar tracks everything about you, right? Your phones are tracking you on a daily basis. No matter what, if you're traveling right now, you switch on Google Maps, it's done. They have everything that you do. I literally have a timeline in my Google Maps that, like, you know, I have, because I have location done on someone. It shows everywhere I have been, and it also asks me, can you verify which place do you went in here, and can you upload a receipt? I'll give you some money, right? And that's already happening. And we are just okay with that because the point is the services that have made our life comfortable are obviously being, like, you know, it's a simple an analogy that goes back to, if you are not paying for it, you are the product, right? And I would love to pay for a paid Google product, right? But the point is Google will never put that because it's so much more cheaper to just have my data and so much more money they can make on my data compared to, like, you know, making me pay. Like if you look at YouTube Premium, 118, 90 bucks for 6 people.
Six people.
Super cheap, right? And I love that because, again, it's still, but they are not saying that they are not tracking their data. They are just showing, we are not showing you the ads for that, right? We have never mentioned that, you know, I'm not going to track what you are, right? They're just saying that we will not show you ads. That's all. So the data, I think we have already let go of our data to a large extent. And I like, you know, and given the, like, you know, the idea about social media and everything, right? Like, you know, everyone needs to have a content part and everything. And we, like, I don't think we are even included in that. We literally share our thoughts and everything. Maybe some parts of our life is still private, right? And, like, you know, we like to keep that way. And probably there would be some regulations. I think Europe or, like, some other nation will come back to us, even India. But I don't think we'll ever have, like, until unless you're super rich and or, like, super powerful, like a prime minister or president, your data will never be, like, you know, it's only with these 10 people. It's already out there.
What about products like, say, for instance, for all my personal non-work related stuff, I use Brave browser rather than using Google Chrome or Safari. Brave claims to, you know, not track my data, to not show me ads, to allow me to have a non-disturbed version kind of a browsing experience. So when I say that I'm using Brave and I am doing that with the satisfaction that, you know, my data is not being tracked and I'm not being disturbed while I'm scrolling through stuff. How is that? Where am I the product when I'm
What do
using
you use
that?
on Brave?
I scroll through my personal stuff like,
No,
you
what
know,
is it? So Gmail, Google,
LinkedIn,
right?
etc. Yeah.
Right. So let's say you log in into Google, right? And then if you log in, sign in with Google anywhere, right? It logs in automatically, even in the Brave browser,
Correct.
right? It's a,
Correct.
because it's based on Chromium, right?
Correct.
How do you think that's happening? Right? The point is, it may, like, so session, I don't know the exact technicalities of Brave, but maybe you end the session and then they clear the cookies, but it's still tracked, right? And when you go to google.com, or if you have even searched maps.google.com, they have already taken your location, right? They are putting that in the database. The only thing it's saying is they are not going to track your journeys, right? That's allowed in Chrome right now. Maybe that's all, they're not tracking your journeys. But whatever you're doing, Charmy, right? Like every time you log in, right, the only way that you probably can't be tracked right now as, like, you know, not spending shitload of money is, some email extensions are there, right? Maybe use Proton Mail, right? And again, it's a great service. It's free of cost for 5 GBs, right? And they are building a suite of services. And I think that's one of the places, you know, where you'll have, like, okay, yeah, a peace of mind, right? But the problem is not everyone allows sign in with Proton, right? Else then you're going in and signing in with the email and everything, right? So if you, like, you can use still some services, right? But would you not check out your Instagram? Would you not check out your LinkedIn? This big tech that is already there, right? They're tracking you. Right, they're literally tracking you. Like if I ask ChatGPT to create a web scraper for any other website, it will do. Whenever I ask it for LinkedIn, it will not allow. And then I have to go and do that because it's a Microsoft company.
Okay, I can understand using AI for a lot of things, like maybe generating captions, generating newsletters, blogs, and stuff like that, or maybe even for programmers to code some to code certain things. So
Yeah.
two things. I want to dissect this into two aspects now. Is it, see, I personally do not believe that AI will take over a lot of jobs and people will be unemployed by a huge number. That is not something I believe, because we've experienced disruptions in the past as well, and employment has only increased over the years. I want to know your take on that. And second, there are some professions where I feel that AI cannot take over. For instance, being a doctor, being a pilot, you know, I don't know if I will trust a robot to assess my body and tell me that, you know, you should get this surgery done, or you should get this operation done, or you should take these medicines. And even if I, you know, if the robot suggests me that when I'm on in the ICU, I will not want a machine to operate me only. I'm not saying that I, you know, really want only people around me. Of course, they'll be leveraging machines to do that, better tech to do that.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'll be comfortable being alone on my hospital bed and just having a machine entirely operate on me by itself.
Okay, so let's look at the first part. Like, I'll take the
Yeah.
jobs part later because that
Yeah.
will be a thing.
Take care.
Let's look at the trust part, right? So right now you send me an email, right? What are you trusting it to deliver it to? You're
Information.
trusting technology, right? Why don't you trust a postman? Because it's slow, right? And plus it will cost you a lot more if you are doing this in a studio room. In everything, right? So two things, right? So it's trust is you allow things to be non-trusted if it's cheap and if it's been proven, right? So if it's not costing you, right, it's proven, right? It's proven email will get delivered. You know a Gmail will deliver, right? And second, you are saying from a standpoint it's cheaper, right? Now let's look at your analogy of doctor, right? Now if you go to a general practitioner, like a person who is like you know your family doctor or anything, and he'll know your symptoms and everything, right? What do doctors do? And like again, this is not in any way to disregard what doctors do, but I'm just like trying to break down what their like specific job is, right? And I put this in my newsletter also. And like you know, like very simply, what does a doctor do? It will ask you what your symptoms are, right? It will ask you how you're feeling, and then they'll do a couple more diagnoses, right?
Correct.
And then based on that diagnosis and based on how they know you, your body, and like you know, if they know you for, I haven't had a family doctor for a long time. I just go to like you know the next doctor that is available, right? My
Okay.
father and all they do, right?
Strange.
Yeah, like so my father and all they do because they trust that one specific person. I'm like, it's again, and I have always, touch wood, I've always been in a great state even after because most of them will recommend the same medicine. It's the same concatenation of the medicine until unless I have
Correct.
something very specific, right? And I've been cured very well. Now, if you look at it, if any doctor is in doubt, what will they ask you to do? Get done? Blood
A
test, right?
test.
And a blood test that's done by machine, right? And like, you know, about do that, right? And you test that. And then you bring those results, which even now the results are like, you know, self-explanatory. They tell you, okay, this is
Correct.
less, you know, right?
Correct.
And then based on that, they give you a certain medicine. Now, what is it? It's like very simply, it's a process of elimination, okay? So this happened, this is not there. And then this is common. And Charu doesn't have anything specific. She just may have a high fever. I'll like, you know, give her like a 7-day bed rest, right? And second part, when you come to it, it's like, you know, you trust things which are cheap. You trust things if they are cheap and if they are reliable, right? So your doctors are reliable, that's why you trust them, right? I trust doctors because anyone because I know that they have done their medicinal work. When you are saying specifically that you will not be happy with a doctor operating with you, okay? Now let's bring in two things. There have been cases of medical negligence, which are not really sometimes negligence, it just implies doctor didn't realize it, right? And there was a study done. New doctors, fresh graduates, are better at diagnosing disease compared to old doctors. Right, and it's a very good Ivy League university study, and like we can put that in reference. The idea was a new doctor is better at diagnosing because they've just studied about all the diseases. Like literally, like you know, he that guy has gone through some 20 exams to pass that, right? An old doctor has probably forgotten about them, not because he doesn't know about them, just he's forgotten. He's not. He's like, this may not happen, right? And the point is, when you see that, right, you would just trust a freaking machine more because the point is. A machine doesn't put, oh, I don't remember this. Getting it? And this is actually like, you know, child, like this has been my family. Like, you know, my close relative went to a doctor and he said, like, you know, I'm not feeling well. The doctor checked him and he's like, no, it, like, you know, everything's fine. You are probably just like, you know, having a anxiety or something. Just like, you know, stay. That person is no more after, like, you know, a certain, like the same day, like after a couple of hours, right? Because not negligence, I'll say again, just like, you know, he didn't realize maybe, you know, there is something. But if you, if today's technology in like 5, 10 years, he would have gone into a machine, scanned everything about his body, everything about heartbeat, your particular in like a 5 minute session, and given you, you know, here is what is happening. He needs a whatever, he needs an operation, he needs this medicine right now, right? You would just trust that more. You would just trust that more because the point is there is 0% or like there's a highly minute percentage of inaccuracy, which is extremely high in humans, right? And then let's come to the second part, right? Let's go deeper into this. You can afford a doctor today. You can easily go and afford, we can go into any hospital and afford the best doctor that lives, right? You have the access to the financial instruments, a health insurance, and everything. What happens to the lowest strata of the society? They are stuck with people or doctors which are great, but may not have the bandwidth to explore each one of them in the same way that we would get the chance to, right? So technology will bring that, great doctors will become, in short, no other word, cheaper, right? They'll become better accessible to everyone, right? If I can put those kind of machines in every government hospital, everyone gets the same kind of treatment. You have much less people who are dying. You have much less people. And your poor strata of society will always trust a machine more because they are like, they have seen doctors who don't give a fuck about them. And they're like, you know, who don't care about them, right? Mm-hmm. Who don't care that, you know, and not because of any reason for doctors, but just there's so much influx, right? In a country like India, there's so many people who are on the bottom strata of the society who can't afford those services. So you are only trusting. And when you come to the pilot part, right? Yeah, pilots are safe for a long time, right? Pilots are safe for a long time until we actually have 100 planes who have gone and like it's still run on autopilot, right? The only thing is you trust that there is someone sitting. You trust 99% of times we don't see the pilot.
I know that the plane I'm flying in is running on autopilot. I'm sure about that. But I'm still trusting that pilot who's just sitting there guiding things.
Exactly, right? So, but what will happen, right? Like, you know, here's specifically charming. You are going to have autonomous cars. You are not asking for drivers now, right? You are not asking because of XYZ reason, because it's a high frequency commodity. You need to travel every day. And if you are not buying a car, you are probably renting an Uber and Ola. And there is like all the problems with that, right? And second, because it's like an economical thing, you can just hire a driver, right? What happens, you will probably have domestic flights being run with one pilot. I'm not saying two pilots. So you run with one pilot, which, and like I'm saying, like a two-hour flight from Delhi to Mumbai doesn't need two pilots, right? And it's because it's already running on autopilot. What you have is like, in case the pilot sleeps or like, anything. So what? It's like, you know what? We'll just take over this stuff. Right. And it's already doing that. We just have that, you know, and if you think like, you know, there was this whole discussion between pilots that, you know, the new pilots are not learning actual good skills. Right. The new pilots, they're just learning the landing and takeoff because that's the only part that they need to take care of.
Is it?
Yeah. This was a proper, like, I probably old times of India.
This episode is scaring me more than I'm learning. I get it.
Yeah, but it's great, right? Like, you have just landing and, like, you know, just the takeoff part. After that, it's cruise control, right? Yeah. And then, yes, you need your pilots. But just imagine, we just had, like, a train accident recently, right? Like,
three trains, yeah.
That's super sad, right? Like, just imagine. And trains don't run, like they don't run, like there's nobody, I don't know which track to go, right? It's just an auto, like I need to change the track. And this was a massive, probably a massive mess up in the investigation by the people who were running the control centers, right? What if you had an additional layer of intelligence? And because, you know, people may be working 34-hour shift or 36-hour shifts, and they're tired, they just forgot, or whatever happens, let's see. But if you have a machine, which is like, you know what? Oh my God, there's something going to happen. Let's just stop all of this, right? Let's just target these trains and stop them. Because a machine can run multiple decisions automatically, right? It can run. And maybe like, you know, you need someone to take accountability. So you have that, like, you know, chief control staff who is saying, okay, probability of XYZ things. And this is a major incident that pops up. That's the first thing that goes on the screen. Because there's something that's run concurrently. We already do that, right? We already do that for our airplanes because they are an expensive commodity. We already see, like, you know, there are so many people in the ATC controlling which is going down, which plane is going up and everything, right? That's why there's a few number of, like, you know, accidents, one of the safest modes of travel because of that. So your trust will become much more on machines which are already relying. You don't question, okay, I'm going to get a Zepto delivery or I'm going to get a Swiggy. You don't question that. You don't, like, how do I trust someone to get my groceries, right? Like, people used to have this, right? Why will I trust someone to come to my home and, like, you know, do my hair stuff or stuff, like, you know?
Getting groceries is economically feasible. Going wrong on delivering groceries is economically feasible to me. I am okay if I've already paid via my credit card on a Dunzo or on a Swiggy or whatever Blinkit order that I've paid. I've paid $500 for groceries, sauces, whatever. I'm okay if that, you know, is not delivered properly, but I don't think I am okay economically, practically, rationally when it comes to my life. That is what I'm contemplating.
So again, you are not, because the point is you have the privilege to do that, right? You can choose someone to, like, you know, do that. A lot of are just land on systems, right? And that's what I'm saying. That's why, like, we are talking, like, I am not saying that tomorrow you will start having a plane, but in 10 years, you will have the cheapest flights run by machines. You'll have the cheapest, like, right now, Google is running a free experiment in San Francisco for people to get on the cars because it's free, right? There is no need of a driver. Do you really think you will not sit in a car running on a highway without a driver in 10 years, right? You are not debating that. You're like, yeah, that may happen, right? That's easily happening possible. And you are talking, and there are much more driving incidents probable than an airplane going down the flight, right? Like, literally, the percentages don't talk. So you are saying you will rely on an extremely dangerous road to have a robot driving, but you will not rely on the extremely safest path to have a robot driving. So because it's just like right now, it's like, you know, it's like, because you can say that right now, right? Like, you know, it's the same way that you had industrial revolution. No, machines will never take over, like, you know, this right now. Like, there won't, what, like the same horse and car analogy, right? No, I will always need a better horse. Like, you know, there is just some firmness, right? Men will say there is a, like, you know, real gentleman way of, like, you know, getting down from a horse or whatever, right? So the idea is that, you know, you are just saying that right now, because the point is, until you see the next format of technology, right, and you feel safer, I'm telling you, Charmy, you will just sit on a flight one day and you won't even care. And that may sound strange, but the point is, there would have been 10,000 flights that would have happened till now, right? Right now, we're seeing that. What about the first flight, right? Yeah, first flight will probably require everyone to have parachutes, okay? The 100th flight will require maybe 50% of people to have parachutes. The 1,000th flight, probably the air hostess and, like, you know, some tube-like format. And I'm pretty sure someone is already solving this, right? So parachutes, why they are not on the plane? It's too heavy. I'm pretty sure someone will solve that part also, that, you know, they are just cheaper parachutes. You just plug in and, like, you know, go. So by the 10,000 flight, it will be like, yeah, we can run with one pilot. And after that, it will be just a certain part. So yes, it's because, again, planes are something that have been running on autopilots for years, right? And there still have been crashes, right? People didn't figure out, like, you know, there can be. But just imagine you still, so there is a technology, they use a flight simulator, right? There's a specific name to that I'm forgetting, that they run simulations on to check what can happen wrong. And I think it's extremely complicated, heavy software, right? And those people, when they, like, you know, anything hits, just imagine a machine already been able to calculate based on the all events, all your bird migrations, all your extrapolations and everything that can be possible. They have already calculated, until unless there's a terrorist attack that they don't, the machine doesn't know about. That also, it is much more easier to pick up. Maybe it hears some internet chatter, puts it in some algorithm. Just having, like, an autonomous machine, again, and this is, like, far into the future right now, like, you know, like a centralized agent. But having that and says, you know what, I don't allow this flight to go, it's a no-go, right? And then that whole idea is, it sounds crazy right now, but you are right now, we are all ready to accept the autonomous driver, and we are not ready to accept because we haven't just seen that. It's just proven, right? It's any technology that hasn't proven, right? So it's just a part of point. And Charlie, see, leave everything, okay? If I sell you a ticket for 1500 bucks and a 3500 bucks with a human pilot, you may be able to choose a 3500 ticket, right? I don't trust, right? 99% of the world can't choose a 3500. They'll be like, we'll just go on. That's why Indigo works, right? They provide the most basic service and they still make money, right? So in a country like India, or in, like, any country, even US, there are not everyone's earning a lot. It's like, yeah, we'll just take a $50 flight. Like, Southwest Airlines will be the first company to say, you know what, they're just people. And yeah, you may have, like, you know, a one pilot.
But how economical is technology going to be going forward? Like when I mentioned that, you know, jobs will be taken over or not, I am thinking from the aspect of, see, I understand that economies of scale will come in at one point of time, and even before they do, maybe one AI machine will do a job as against 10 or 20 humans working, right? So I'm not comparing cost that way, but I'm comparing cost with respect to the employer's feasibility and them, you know, stashing out money with respect to working with or leveraging AI over there.
Got it. So it's, let's look at two parts. First, yes, companies will take over. Another point is, what happens? Technology has already got super cheap, right? Like, AI models, like, you can just, so not every organization will be able to build their own AI model. Let's be honest about that. Until and unless NVIDIA chips get dirt cheap, right? And I don't see that happening very soon, but sooner or later it will happen, right? So I don't think everyone is going to train and build their whole models, right? What they're going to use is there is going to be the Googles and Microsoft of the world, but just going to build a specialized model, right? Let's look at our pilot example. They are going to partner up with the Google or Microsoft to build a, every airline will pay them a fixed fee, and all of them will just build the same pilot model because airplanes are not changing. It's like those 6-7 models that are running, right?
I think
all
let's
of,
do another example. I think you should start using the analogy of Bloomberg GPT. That will make resonate with my listeners more.
Okay, so let's look at Bloomberg GPT, right? Now, if for the people who don't know, Bloomberg GPT is this amazing. So if everyone knows Bloomberg Terminal, this is like a $20,000 system that Bloomberg rents to people. You can't buy it. You rent it every year or like a monthly subscription, which has all the information of the year. And probably like a lot of people in Wall Street love this. Like, you know, I want a Bloomberg Terminal. I got a Bloomberg Terminal. You know, that's a point. It's more or less all the information that you can see on a screen, right? So the best traders of the world analyze all this information and take the bets that they do, right? And they try to just make a net positive on the yearly basis or a monthly basis. Now, if you look at what a person is analyzing, right? Like, tell me, you analyze stocks, right? You go through the company, you go through the news articles, you go through the financial reports, you maybe see, like, you know, the history of the stock and like 5 to 7 factors, right? Let's say, as the best analyst, you look at 12 different factors, right? And you go deep into 12 those different factors. Bloomberg GPT is literally just using the whole GPT model trained on a financial data set to predict. And this is not the first time it's happened, right? We already know. The man who knew, who is that guy? Like George, the 66% guy. I think I'm forgetting the name. Like, we read that book, right?
Simmons.
Yeah, okay. Simmons, yeah. So, this guy is getting a 66% return on his capital every day, right? Using what? If you look at, he has been training his computer since last 40 years. They have stock data going back to 1800s. Till the last point, it was visible, right? They have already built what we call right now an auto GPT or a Bloomberg GPT. And that is proven technology. Okay, guys, so for anyone who doesn't know, okay, this guy has been making 66% annual return. It's much more than Warren Buffett and everyone. But this person hires none of the people from a Wall Street. He only hires if you have a scientist degree, like a math or a science or astrology degree from the best schools of the world. And so imagine the best mathematical minds or scientific minds are making the analyst bets based on data, completely data. They don't talk to, I don't think that, you know, they will call someone and ask, right? They were doing that, they failed on that. They were like, we're just going to ask our model to do that, right? And let's look at Aladdin for BlackRock, right? It has now come out, like, because they have been taking those bets. Aladdin is a GPT model for people who don't know, or like a GPT. Aladdin is an AI, again, like, let's not like, you know, bring it all down. Aladdin is an AI model that BlackRock uses to predict their future bets, to predict where their money allocation is going, right? And obviously, there will be someone who takes the final call, right? Because you need someone to fire if it goes wrong, right? But Aladdin takes, like, you know, 90% of the calls. This is a great opportunity. This is not. It analyzes everything, right? And Charlie, let's look at what you were saying. Like, you know, look at that analogy. Financial analysts or, like, people who are not adding that X factor right, will be written off. Right, because you are looking at 12-13 factors, right? The machine can look at 200 factors on 200 stocks in a minute, right? And then it predicts. And the best part, now you'll say, no, there's, like, you know, something that keeps happening on a daily basis. We literally have that, can just put into that data, right? You use it, like, it will read every freaking news goddamn article, right? And it's not far away where, you know, you are having just AI goes, I want these questions answered by this particular executive in this particular company to make my predictions better. You will have robots giving you tasks, right? So a financial analyst, what they do, okay? Unless they are doing insider trading, and that is also now easily, like an AI, if they get the same knowledge, right? Unless that information, that specific key part, I'll say, like, you know, which is unethical, right? That's the only part that's there. Because if someone is trading on the public knowledge available, your asymmetric knowledge that these funds today, the best of the funds have, gets reduced to just bits which anyone can access. It's all there. And if you go to YouTube, there are a lot of traders who have built their own mechanisms on YouTube and they have taught people how, and they are just processing all the information that they would do for now 200, 300 stocks.
Correct.
Right? So all the people, okay, and if anyone is going into options trading or that, don't, please don't. Like, it's a crazy mark, because now there's going to be sophisticated models who will do that at a millisecond rate. They already are doing, they just get better and better. Now the point is, when we say, like, you know, what changes with an AI, like just to take that part, it can generate what can happen, right? Like generative, like that generative AI exists, like it's a if else conditions that process data. Okay, But for the first time, it can learn by itself and say, wait, I don't want to take this decision, or I want to take this decision because of these factors that I have predicted based on the past data that I think, and I can put that. So if someone buys like a solar mine somewhere, like, for like the silver part, it can just simply, the next bet it will take will be probably in a solar company if someone buys silver, right? And just imagine those connections. A great trader would still be able to take, but a machine takes that in a day. A trader will take a week because just of the asymmetric processing on information that there is. So if you look at that, that's where the scary part is, right, Charlie? Like, then what do the smartest, brightest people from Harvard come out and do in the 200, $300K jobs, right? So,
Right. So, I mean, coming back to the original question, what are your thoughts on the economic feasibility of the AI that's coming up?
I think already, like, if you look at, like, every startup already are flush with money, so they have already started using it.
Yeah, but the
I'm
funding
working.
window is going on. So, the funding window is going on at a time when AI is picking up.
And if you look at, okay, so the funding winter is going on for the traditional startups because, again, it's just the recession cycle at the moment, right? What, how are these people going to raise the next level of funds? By telling that we're going to use AI to cut down jobs, right? And given that this is happening during a funding winter, the problem is people are going to get fired. It's already happened, right? Because, okay, not every company wants to accept this. You see, the maximum layoff started happening in December, January, right? All the good founders understood why AI is taking over. Or some of them had to do it through their economical reasons. But if you look at everything, funding is going to be easier to raise because now I'm going to say, you know what? I need less money to build the same product and make more money on that, right? Or now I need money to build an AI model that then you can just take that as an IP. If I don't deliver a product, you can take this as an IP, right?
Correct.
So investors are going to have a tangible product and an intangible product, both of them ready. And look at, like, okay, so Charlie, what is the biggest expense when you start a startup? It's the employees, right? The employees, and like that's the biggest problem. Like, a founder is restricted to himself till the point he is able to delegate, right? That founder is 10x today. A smart founder is 10x of what it is today. Unless you are, and again, let me be very specific. I'm only talking about this in the context when you are having software startups, right? Like a Swiggy, the operational head still needs to be there to run the stores. Okay. But the engineering team can be cut in a good amount of time, right? It can be cut by whatever percentage, right? And who gets paid the most today? Who gets paid the most? The engineers, right? You have people graduating from college getting 30, 40 L offers, right? Who has no experience. They have written probably like three hackathon level codes, right? That same code can be written by like a ChatGPT in like seconds, right? And like the idea is that, so Charlie, like, if you, let's look at this, okay? I don't know if you want to go deep into this, but if you look at jobs, which jobs are going to go away? Do you want to go about, like, or you have questions before that, if I have answered?
No, so
Yeah.
this is what I was discussing also with a friend. So we were exactly that, these Harvard graduates that come out, I don't understand that people like, see, I am nowhere near a Harvard graduate. I have not had a degree from such a prestigious
You're
institution.
probably better, okay.
Oh, superb. But the point being that I think that jobs which are highly skilled are more at risk compared to jobs that do not have a very high skill required. For instance, when I was discussing this with a friend, we were just discussing that is it better to become a vegetable vendor today? Because, dude, people are gonna buy vegetables at the end of the day. But there is a high chance, as you mentioned, that quant or tech or AI will take over the task of being a fund manager today.
Yeah.
So, which jobs are at risk, which aren't? How should you decide how to upskill yourself and how much to upskill yourself?
So okay. So let's if we go get into that part, sorry, Charlie, a fund manager will not be there. Let me be very clear. Like, not till the next 30 years, a fund manager still need to be there, and that because it's accountability. You can't fire a AI, right? You can't if some like mishandling of funds have, you can't. Okay. So one job, like if I say for everyone, accountability based jobs are going to be there. That's why I say, like, doctors may be using technology a lot, may get replaced by this lower strata society. But if, like, if it's someone is going to operate on the prime minister, it's going to be a doctor. Let me be like as clear on that as. So every job that has a lot of accountability, you will have people in those positions, right? Because until maybe, I don't know, until like maybe 150 years, 60 years, probably faster than that, but you will have, until you have an accountability in your job, you're accountable for something, you will have a job. Now let's look at the part where you are, where we'll go into the the reality of things, right?
Hmm.
What jobs get automated? Now, I'll be honest, it's like the quantum of jobs is going to reduce, okay? Software engineering as a job is going to be there, okay?
Sorry?
Software engineering as a job is going to be there. It's not going to go away. That job is going to be there. What is going to go away is the big packages that come up with it, and the mediocre skill sets also, because just you are from a good college, will get hired at a high package, is going to go away. Right? I'll give you an anecdote to that. Okay, so there is this a founder on Twitter who said, companies, my VCs were paying me 10x of my valuation so that I can hire people from Google, Microsoft, and Facebook. They have asked me to cut their heads down and reduce my valuation and my money funding by less because I can just use an AI to do that now. What world we are living in, right? So if you were from an IIT, you were getting paid a 40, 50 lakhs from a computer science class, right? Just because of the brand name. Let's be very clear. They have good hardware, yes,
I
a good
agree.
workmanship, but just for the name, right? It's not, I'm pretty sure a tier three college guy who would have had the same skill set won't get paid that much any day, right? Just because the competition is not there. So what happens? Your skill sets need to be, you need to bring a lot to the table. Let's be very clear on that. Okay. And I love the, like, you know, the fact that we have this whole idea of generalist coming up, right? Because a software engineer, if he's just going to write code, maybe the most beautiful code the world will look at, right? You will not get paid a lot. That's the question. Nobody's saying that the jobs are going to get ripped. Like, Charlie, see, if you're the best of the best, if you're the best podcast creator in the top 10%, and like, you know, and the analysis is, if you have more than 21 episodes, you're already in the top 2% of the episodes that are being produced on a regular basis. That means you're already there, right? You are not apart from that. Like, so you need to be in the top 10%. And when I say top 10%, you need to be highly skilled and you need to bring a lot to the table. Now, for every field, that will differ. Okay, let's be very clear. For every field, that will differ. But if you're just bringing one expertise knowledge, when you are starting out, let me be like, you know, just when you're starting out as a fresher, I am saying I write the best code that there is. Sorry, man, a code, we'll have an AI do it. Problem is there. Problem is, like, you know, we thought expertise is great. Like, for me, I'm not an expert in any field. I'm a generalist who just can hash things together and solve a problem, right? I get paid to solve problems, right? You get paid to solve a certain kind of problem, right? You are a generalist, like the people that I like, we both know we are generalists. We can do a lot of things and we just do generalist part of it, right? The point is now the expertise part that we require. You know, after your product becomes too big, you need 100 people to manage it. Well, sorry, you need 10 people to manage it who can just use an AI, or you are using an AI. Maybe you want to run a 5 crore business, you can just use AI to do that today, to make you the expert in that, right? If you go to Craftful, it's a plugin on ChatGPT. It literally says we are the best product manager you can have, product development coach. They don't want to say product manager. You just ask it what kind of app you want to create. It will list down everything. So the PMs that are going to get paid 80 lakh, 90 lakh, a 10-year guy getting paid 1.2, 1.3 crores to coordinate. And like, I don't know if this comment section is going to go crazy. Like, you don't know what a product manager does, right? Guys, let me be very clear. We know what they do. Okay. Like, world is not stupid, right? Like, you know, they know what everyone does. I'm not saying they're not adding value. The best product manager is well. But what is the best product manager? They have read maybe 20 books. They have launched maybe good two products. They have shipped them and they have got feedback on that. And they know how to do it better. Your freaking machine has gone through 100 books, 100 products, needs the right prompt, and can have a fine-tuned data set on product managers. Right? And the whole coordination part and everything, then the point is, you will have product managers, right? And people used to say, you know, don't be a project manager, be a product manager, because you know, you are not running, you are the idea person, right? Guys, literally every product manager is taking bets on the features that are going to be built, right? You are taking a bet, this feature works, and we get, like, you know, a growth product manager, a technical, and this, etc. What happens? You have one product manager who's actually the owner of that product, uses 10 AIs to run the whole thing. Okay, you know, these are the best features, whatever, best analysis, this, XYZ, 100 different things, and figure out the best feature. So the best jobs are going to get reduced to a lower compensation, yes. And also, if you want that higher compensation, a lot of people would want, right? You won't want our salaries to go down. You bring a lot more. You should be a product manager who understands code like the back of your hand, right? How many B school graduates are there who are doing that, who are getting paid that money, right? There are so many people who will graduate from IIM Ahmedabad, will go into consultancy, and like, let's not get into consultants, but a product manager and everything. And then you bring in the money and you're like, wait, you don't get code. Yeah, I'm not supposed to. Like, that's the entitlement.
So with respect to the skill set and you know being a generalist and stuff like that, have we gone Have we done an Uno reverse on our old ideology that a jack of all trades, master of none? I think that no longer exists today then.
So the complete quote is not that. The complete quote is that, like, you know, it's a complete, like, it's a, I'm paraphrasing, it's like it's better than being none, right? Like, you know, that a jack of all trades is much better. And I'll send you the, I'll probably, we can put it in the comments what the quote is. It's a better quote. Like, being a jack of all trades is better. Okay. And that's what the first input that starts on the range. That's a book by David Epstein on generalists. It says it's better. Okay. We have just been told the first part because, you know, it serves the purpose of the industries. You need experts on cybersecurity and everything, right? And now they will all say, you know, you need to bring a lot to the team. Right? And no, Charlie, so the point is, we are not going reverse Uno on that. We are just saying that a lot of people who are starting out as jobs will need to have a reverse Uno for them. You can't just be a great coder. You can't just be a great coder. You can't just great be a product manager. You need to bring more. That's what my point is. So for you, I'll tell you will have your best cardiologist, you'll have the best security guy in the world who will get paid millions. Okay. But the point is, what is the proportion of that? Very small percentage, right? One top 1%. I'm talking about the top 1-2% highly skilled people, right? Like, that means when the president goes down, you call that guy, right? Or when your whole India's networks go down, you call that guy, right? Those people are still going to be there. Up till, like, whatever, like the next 50, easily, like, they are going to have their good lives and 50, 60 years. Until, if you are that level of skill, you don't need to worry about AI. Literally, like, you just enjoy your life, have fun. But maximum of us are not, right? So when upskilling comes in, you need to be a Swiss knife, okay? Like, you know, you need to be literally a Swiss knife. You need to have six to seven tools that you are really good at. And if you're not good at, I am only saying, don't expect great salaries. Don't expect companies to pay you a lot if you don't have six, seven skill sets. Because the point is, they can just get that done by an AI, right? Like, the point is, so you need to bring that. And how do you do that? Again, that will be a very detailed framework. But it still comes down to very three basic things. Learn every day. And I'm telling you guys, when I say learn every day, please learn every day. I don't know. Whatever you're doing, learn every day. Second, understand how you work, right? Like, people don't know how they work. People don't know what their working style is and everything, right? And third, be scared like shit that every day your job can be automated. And then list down the things that can be automated and actually automate them. Free up your time. Like, the problem is, people, again, Charmi, it's probably going to be a much better life for the top 5-6% people of the world in the next 10 years, and a very bad life for a lot of other people. And again, it sounds scary. It is going to be. You're probably, we'll have a day when a carpenter is getting paid 2 lakhs a month, right? For doing their job, or, like, you know, they charge the US service fees for going and repairing your chair. Okay. That may happen. The only thing, how, and the point is, but what happens in India, right? Everyone sees a carpenter is getting paid a lot. Everyone will become a carpenter. Right?
Herd
So then, again,
mentality
the.
does not take too long in India.
So you need to be the best of the best. And to be that, upskill every day. Like, that's the only advice I'll have. And please don't, I don't know. People are still, like, you know, I
You
don't
can
know.
cross-sell
100.
your social media handles here where you put in
That will be, so I.
in one AI platform, knowledge about one AI platform every day on an Insta. So that's where I get to learn a lot about AI personally, and that is when I had a discussion with him, and we decided that, you know, let's discuss it on a podcast rather than just doing it over a call. So
So the only thing is, I'm pretty sure, Charlie, a lot of people in the comment section will be saying, like, you know, no, it's not, you don't know what a product manager does, you don't know what a software engineer does. Guys, again, you can, like, you know, you can keep debating that, or you can, like, you know, do a better thing. Go learn about AI. Learn how you can. I literally do that introspection every 2 weeks now, because there's just so much every day. I don't have the time to go out and see, okay, which can go. Every 2 weeks, I sit down and Saturday, Sunday, and I just take some 4 hours and see what parts of my job can be automated and how can I automate them, right? And I go back to, like, you know, and I just do that, like, just automate that, because I don't, like, I have stopped writing any customer support shitty emails. Like, whenever I had to, like, you know, reply to a, like, you know, raise someone a voice, I just go to ChatGPT, raise this, I have ordered this, this is the problem. 2 minutes, send the email, you get a perfect response, right? So automate your life to a level that your time is freed up to learn things, because it is going to be a big difficult. And, like, again, Charlie, we can go into the economics of this if you want to, but, like, yeah.
Akshat, so everything said and done, I understand what you are heading, where you're heading towards. But having said that, how would you define the, or how would you put the fact that it consumes a lot of energy, right? Be it electricity, be it water. So we've all read about AI's environmental impact, right? The carbon emissions and stuff like that. So I was reading this article and it said that GPT-3 in 2022, I think the carbon emissions by GPT-3 stood at about 502 trillions tons, 502 tons. Plus, these also consume huge amounts of water as well, right? So the same article also mentioned that a rough conversation with ChatGPT of about 30 to 40 questions would imply that it consumes about 500 ml of water, which is huge. And right now, we understand that global warming is impacting all of us. There are heat waves across the country. I mean, of course, El Nino is to play a part of it, but that's temporary. We cannot deny the fact that we are ruining the environment. And this was the same concern that also came up when people were behind crypto, that the mining of crypto would also how it would impact the environment. So what's your take on that? How are we defining that?
So tell me, yeah, like again, I think like we are trying to, again, yes, there is a huge environmental impact to all these things, but instead of like trying to blame the consumer, like you won't blame a third world, like country who's like consuming a lot of electricity to grow themselves, right? Because like again, they are consuming electricity. One part of the conversation is we should look at like enabling maybe like what amount of ChatGPT or like AI-based tools should have like a carbon emission tax, right? And that we utilize to build cleaner sources of energy. That's one solution that we can obviously look at. But more than that, we can, it's a good debate to have. Yes, that we should try to make. But if you see technology will progress to become more efficient, right? Like the GPUs that we're using now are not going to be the same GPUs that we used 10 years down the line, right? NVIDIA is already making like a huge strides in that, right? So slowly, all these factors combined will make AI more environmental friendly, right? And also more like I think like that will also add to more maybe like because if we have cheaper sources of energy, right? If the bill goes down for OpenAI or other companies like that, right? They will also be passing on that. So you will have higher adoption, right? So there's like a huge part, environmental part is there, and I completely agree that we should focus, but we should focus on getting better, cleaner energy, right? We should have a cleaner sources of energy in like windmills or solar energy, all those are there. Like, what if we could just have every building today installed with solar energy, or every like corporate headquarters should be like, I think government or everyone else should be focusing towards that, like having more cleaner sources of energy rather than like trying to blame the consumer of that particular energy. So it will get the whole bundle thing. I'm very positive about it in 5 10 years. And like let's take the crypto example for just a second. What happened in the last 2 years in Ethereum, right? They literally reduced the energy consumption of the world by 0.2%, right? Now of the world, like amount by just so what they did, they put in a code like in simpler terms, they just updated their code base to use less electricity, right? It's a whole like we can go into which algorithm they were using, but they just updated the code base across the world to use less electricity, and the electricity consumption went down. Like literally, there's a spike graph, and maybe we can put that. And then it just goes down. So, and that took like around easy 6 7 years to happen, like when people started thinking about it. So it's not going to happen today. It's not going to happen, like I don't think in the recent team, because again, it needs to reach to scale. Right now, okay, how many people watching this have actually used ChatGPT on a daily basis, right? If you have that question, that's a very few small percentage. So yeah. So yeah, I think we should care, but I won't want to blame AI only for like like increasing, because probably it's probably going to be an AI that actually solves the energy crisis compared to humans, because we have been trying to do that and haven't been able to do it.
That's a very strong opinion, I'd say.
Could be, right? Like again, so the point is like, because okay, and then you look at it, just comes down to this, right? What you give a machine a goal, like that's where we reach to, like could be like a very difficult Terminator series level. But the idea is, if you give a machine a goal, it will probably give you great understanding of all the data points that need to be covered, right? Because if you go to a business case study competition, how do we solve the climate crisis? We'll have the same three jargons put up and together. But having a much more bigger analysis, it may be able to provide us, better options. Like what Sam Altman said, right? They had no idea how to monetize OpenAI. They literally said that, once we build this generative artificial intelligence kind of a thing, we'll probably ask it how to make money. Right? And people laughed then, people are not laughing now. So again, I think like there's like a huge there's a thing that we can have. So let's see. I think we'll there probably because, and also like if you just add to point, like the you have a lot of people in the top 2 3% who are consuming a lot of electricity, right? That percentage will get reduced a lot, right? Like if you are, and like that percentage gets reduced a lot, I think sad as it is, but it will change the amount of electricity that.
No, I think this has been one heavy episode, and I think we can have a part two of it, keeping in mind the attention time frame that people have today. But thanks, Akshat, for doing this. I think it's a well-rounded up conversation. I'll just end it with my rapid fire round. So five
Okay,
words.
let's go.
I'll start with ChatGPT versus Bard.
ChatGPT.
So betting on a software engineer or a doctor?
Neither, honestly. Like you know, just like be a biotech guy, be a person who knows about anatomy. And like, I'll be honest, just be a biotech person.
India in the next 10 years with respect to AI.
110% better. It's already like, you know, we'll probably surpass. I don't know, from a model perspective, we'll probably surpass the use cases. Will be highly in India, and you're going to see a lot of people who will get super happy with AI and also super rich. So yeah, it's actually an exciting place to be. And even people who aren't going to be in jobs, like, let's not discount that.
Okay. Neuralink.
Honestly, like, super excited about it. Super excited.
Okay. And the last one being Akshat.
Yeah, a person who loves tech. I've been telling these people, like, I'll probably take a more word, like, you know, loves tech. That's one. If you are just a rapid fire, I've been telling, like, you know, everyone used to ask me to improve my handwriting, right? It still sucks, right? And I was telling my teachers, don't worry, it's not going to happen. Well, I've been really wrong, and like, I'm just going to say that because there's just so much to do, right? There's just so much to do. So, and Charlie, I like to say from one closing perspective, like, you know, for everyone who's watching, guys, the basics don't go away. The hard work, the productivity. Better making your productivity don't go away. So don't think that, you know, I'll just get everything to get done by AI and be a lazy person. Don't. Just yeah.
Got it. ठीक है, श्योर अक्षय, थैंks for coming
Awesome,
on
Charlie.
board and
Lovely.
part of
Yep.
it.
Hopefully we'll have to do a, like, let's do a, like, next one should be a 2-3 hour
I
one.
think the second one should be more of a screen sharing kind of a structure. I
Yeah.
really want my users to, you know, listeners to go through, like, say for example, we do a casting of Mid Journey or, you know, prompting, setting up prompts on Chat GPT and the likes of it. That would
We
be more
should.
engaging.
चार में तो एक शुरू कर देता अपन, ओवरपावर्ड शुरू किया ना अपन भी कर देंगे।